Jesus on the way to the Feast of Tabernacles, chapter 47. If thou art so anxious for the people to acknowledge thee as the Messiah, why dost thou remain in Galilee? You are not doing right. You should go to Judea, to Jerusalem, the capital of our nation, where most of our eminent rulers live. The Lord Jesus stands surrounded by several persons, who, after they have scornfully spoken these words, look at Jesus half mockingly and defiantly. Leave this place and go to Judea, they say. Why dost thou remain so long in this despised Galilee? If thou wantest to be honored, why doesn't thou perform those great miracles in Jerusalem also? Probably the people will believe in thee. Do you hear the ridiculing ring in their voices, boys and girls? Do you see the half-closed eyes with which they look at Jesus? Who are these men? Are they the Pharisees and scribes? No, not this time. They are the brethren of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they are members of his own family. They reproach him because he continues to walk about in this poor Galilee. What is he doing here? Why doesn't he go to Jerusalem? Why doesn't he let them publicly crown him king? They think Jesus dare not go. They think Jesus is deceiving the people. They do not speak these words with any good intention. No, indeed not. Read what is recorded in John 7, for neither did his brethren believe in him. What? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Son of God? That cannot be. He is only fooling the people. This is how his brethren think of him. They defy the Lord Jesus. If he speaks the truth, let him prove it. Let him go to Jerusalem. At this time, he has a good opportunity to present himself openly. They are going to Jerusalem too, and the Jews from all sections of the world will come together there. Another few days and the Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated. Do you still know what kind of feast that was? During this feast, the Jews lived in huts made of green branches of trees, thus commemorating how their forefathers had lived in tents for 40 years in the wilderness. At the same time, this day was a Thanksgiving day. The harvest had been taken in, and the complete harvest. Not only the wheat and the barley were in, but also all the other fruits had been harvested. The great Day of Atonement was celebrated first. Then followed the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Joy. His brethren said, "Come with us. We and all the other Galileans will go together. At the feast, you should manifest your power." The Lord Jesus stands there. What will his answer be to these defiant words? He hears the distrust and unbelief in their voices. He knows what they think of him. Will he defend himself? No. The Lord Jesus answers calmly, "My time is not yet come. You go to the feast. It is your duty. I am not going at present. I am remaining here for a while." His brethren shrug their shoulders and go. They think, "Do you see? He dare not go. He is not the Messiah. Otherwise, he would do as they propose." The thousands of Galileans prepare for the journey. They go on the way, joining themselves to the procession. But Jesus and his disciples still remain in Galilee. Perhaps some of you are thinking, why didn't the Lord Jesus go? Didn't he dare go because the Pharisees of Judea wanted to kill him? Did he fear because of his life? Oh, no, you must not think so. Doesn't he dare? Certainly he does. But he did not come into the world to receive earthly honors, and he did not perform all those miracles to be honored by the world. He helped when it was needed, and he always helped when his help was asked for. He did it out of compassion for those who were afflicted. He did not do it for the Jewish people to offer him an earthly crown. The Lord Jesus did not seek honor for himself, but he came into this sinful world to deliver miserable people from destruction. A few days after the feast celebrants left, Jesus also goes on this journey. He does not go among the numerous multitude, but as it were, concealed. The Galileans walk through Perea, but Jesus chooses the shorter route and plans to go through the land of the Samaritans. The Jews would not go through Samaria, therefore they had to make a large circuit. You still know the reason, don't you? See him walking with his disciples through the Samaritan country, the country of the enemy. Evening is approaching. Soon it will be night. A village of the Samaritans lies in the distance. Jesus sends a few of his disciples ahead, and they must ask if they can get a night's lodging in the town. When the disciples come to these Samaritans and ask for a lodging place, they are refused. Jesus and his disciples cannot remain there overnight. The Samaritans do not want to receive them. Why not? Because he is on the way to Jerusalem. The Samaritans could not endure that, for they firmly believed the true temple was in Samaria and not in Jerusalem, and for this reason they would not receive Jesus and his followers. The old hatred and hostility came again to the fore. This religious hatred fills their hearts with resentment and rage. Disappointedly, the disciples who went to the village return and bring the message they are not welcome. What must they do now? Darkness is falling rapidly. The disciples are exceedingly indignant. Is this a way to treat anybody? All kinds of ugly, revengeful ideas arise in their thoughts. James and John cannot stand the Samaritans' attitude. With bitterness in their voices, they ask, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah had done? This village ought to be destroyed, and the wicked Samaritans perish by fire." Oh, their desire is for Jesus to give them this permission. Those homes must go up in flames. They seek revenge, bloody revenge. If it depended upon them, then... Impatiently they wait for their master's answer. "You do not know what you desire," the voice of the Savior resounds sternly. "I did not come to kill and to destroy people. I came to deliver and to save them. I came to redeem people." With these words, they are seriously admonished because of their cruel desires. Yes, so is man. We want to take revenge. So often murder and cruelty arise in us, even for the slightest things. God's demand is not to seek revenge, but to love our enemies. However, for our depraved heart, this is exceedingly difficult. We not only see this ugliness, this devilish in adults, but we also can observe this in little children. These things also dwell in your hearts, boys and girls. The disciples are silent upon this rebuke of the Lord Jesus. They would have let loose with blows. Yes, they would have exterminated them with fire, and now to receive such an answer. Jesus and the disciples travel further, either to another village, or it may be they have passed the night under the open heavens. Undoubtedly, it was upon this journey to Jerusalem and that the Lord Jesus performed a great miracle. While Jesus walks onward with his disciples, and as he is about to enter a village, 10 lepers come to him. You know what a dreadful disease this is. It is contagious and incurable. These 10 men found each other, and now they live together. Why shouldn't they? All 10 were unclean and had to live apart from all other people. They have companionship and support from each other. Upon hearing Jesus is in the neighborhood, they leave their hiding place. Still, they dare not come near the Lord, for we read in the Bible they stood afar off. Indeed, they were not permitted to mingle among other people, for they were unclean. They stand and jointly cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Could be they had heard of other lepers being cured by the prophet from Nazareth. Couldn't he also cure them? They believe he can. Therefore, their cry rings out, "Have mercy on us." Jesus sees them standing. There are 10 afflicted men who are cast out from their families because of this dreadful, incurable disease. He sees the suspense upon their deformed faces. He sees their longing eyes. He has compassion on them. Oh, the consequences of sin are terrible. "Go and show yourselves to the priests," Jesus' command rings out. No, he does not say they are cured, but he commands them to go and present themselves to the priests. It is written in the laws of Moses that when a leper was cured, he had to go to the priest. The priest had to examine him, and if it appeared he were really cured, he was declared clean by the priest. These 10 lepers were commanded to go to the priest. They had to believe the word of the Lord Jesus. The Lord tried them. And what did they do? Just look. Upon the words of Jesus, they all turn about and go to show themselves to the priest. Thus, they doubt not the truth of Jesus' words, and their faith is not put to shame. As they turn about to go, their leprosy disappears. They feel it on their bodies. They are cured. Suddenly, one of the 10 stands still. The other 9 hasten onward, but this one man returns. Why? Doesn't this man believe the word of Jesus? Indeed, he does. For read what is recorded in God's word. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back. No, he didn't turn back because of unbelief. Why doesn't he remain with the others? Look at him. He comes near the Lord Jesus. Now he doesn't stand afar off. It isn't necessary. Isn't he cured? Now he may come close to Jesus. He falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus. With a voice trembling with emotion, he thanks the Lord for the great benefit done to him. To him who is so unworthy. Who is this man? Look closely at him. He is a Samaritan. Probably the other nine were Jews. They do not return. They have sufficient on their cure. And now that they are healed, they no longer need Jesus. But this one, this stranger, and this Samaritan cannot do without Jesus. He returns. He falls at the feet of the Savior. He thanks him from the depth of his heart. Yes, even more is recorded of him. He glorified God with a loud voice. He honors God for his recovery. The Lord Jesus says, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Is there not one of all those lepers who gives God the glory except this stranger?" No, alas, no. One returns, but only one. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole, are the words of the Savior. This Samaritan rises and leaves. A blessed happiness fills his soul. This wonder is too great for him. God has been so good to him. Don't you think the other 9 were exceedingly ungrateful? Yes? But, what do you do? Aren't many of you just like the 9 unthankful lepers? Of course, you pray to God when you are in trouble, and when you are sick or in other difficulties, God must help then. He must make you better or deliver you out of your difficulty, of course. And if the Lord answers your prayers, what then? If he should send relief? Alas, most everyone goes on without ever thanking the Lord for his blessings. You forget the Lord. You no longer need the Lord. How ungrateful! Isn't he worthy to be thanked? Take an example from this Samaritan. He returned and gave God the glory. He humbly thanked the Lord Jesus.